sit and watch the children play, doing things I used to do. They think of you.
7:34 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Joe Jenkins, Central Hudson Gas and Electric, in studio, but he's got a he's got a sweet tooth here. So you're going to be one of the judges for Cupcake Wars next door at the K104.
It's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it.
It's tough. It's tough. You know, it's no way to go into a Friday. You know, just eating fantastic junk food for an hour before I have to go into work.
Ugh.
My colleagues love it though, because I come into the office and I'm pretty wired. So it's pretty good.
That's a good one for sure. It's a great thing that they do.
We will be checking your A1C levels before you leave.
I'm sure doctor's thrilled.
It's a great thing that they do next door here with K104 on the Cupcake Wars event that they have. They've done this for years, and so you're one of the judges. And
I am.
Robbie, are you going to be involved today with the you know keeping track of the scoring and stuff? How does that?
Yeah, I'm kind of what my job is. I call it scum work, is where I just collect all of the cupcakes that get left over, and I run to my girlfriend's house, and we judge them afterwards too.
These aren't the ones that people
yes.
People didn't take a bite out of them, did they?
No, I'm not that much of a scum. I just take what I want.
Well, we're just losing it here this morning. So, Joe, coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, going to be having a conversation. And I don't know whether you know this individual, Alexandra Fasulo, and we're going to be talking about the Office of Renewable Energy Siting has superseded New York State's DEC on putting a solar complex on DEC-designated environmentally sensitive areas.
Okay.
Yikes. And this is not within your bailiwick, but right. This is in the whole world of energy, net zero. The state getting involved in things, overriding environmental regulations. The information has come out, I think even since I saw you last, the state, according to NYSERDA, sitting on almost a $3 billion
yes.
slush fund
yes.
that utilities were required to collect through our bills.
That's right.
And I think NYSERDA or maybe even the New York State Comptroller is saying, let's rebate that money back to the consumers.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, we're in support of as well. Like you said, these are funds that customers have already paid
yes.
through their utility bill.
Mandated by the state.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. This is one of those mandated fees that goes into your bill. And anything that's not already allocated, we believe should be given back to the customers. We see it now that there's this very, very real, very tangible affordability crisis.
Yes.
In the energy sector and across the board. And there are levers that we can pull to provide relief right now, and we feel like that's one of them.
Exactly. I mean, we're not talking chump change here. We're talking about something like a pot of money close to $3 billion
Absolutely.
Just sitting there. To refund it back to the rate payer, you know, the customers, does nothing to the state's budget.
That's right. Yeah.
It's only a benefit.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, because it's funded through the utility bill, there's no... Doesn't need to go through any budgeting process.
No.
It doesn't end up back on your property tax bill. It's immediate relief for customers who need it right now.
Exactly. So what else is happening in the world of, you know, regulatory filings, grid upgrades, whatever happens to be, whatever else you want to talk about this morning?
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot. We could go on for a while about that. One event that we just did this week that we're actually excited about, we partnered with Dutchess Community College.
Mm-hmm.
We gave them a grant for $200,000. They've got a beautiful facility that they're building right up the road here in Fishkill. And they are really developing a trade school program
yes.
there. And that's something that we're fully supportive of. We know we've talked about it before, the sort of scarcity that we're starting to see in terms of workforce talent that's going into the trades and how it's going to be a very real problem. So we are providing money to partner with them to help build out their HVAC department so that they'll be able to put out more certified workers into the workforce, and these folks will get good paying jobs,
yes.
can stay here in the Hudson Valley, and not be saddled with decades upon decades of student loan debt like I am, and again, just be here and also help facilitate some of that electrification transfer that we're going through, because some of the things that you're going to need in order to convert from fossil fuel to electric heat is HVAC workers. More so if you're looking at beyond the residential areas, when you talk about IBM's quantum computing that they just announced,
right,
and the significant amount of cooling that's going to take. It's going to take hundreds and hundreds of really highly skilled tradespeople to build out a cooling system to keep that system at pretty close to absolute zero, which is where it needs to be.
Minus 273 degrees.
Yeah, crazy.
I think that's close to the number. But these are all happening. Now, have you had an opportunity? Of course, Central Hudson's territory also includes over in Ulster County. You've got some major facilities over there. Have you had an opportunity to look at the new Ulster BOCES iPark 87 facility and the training that they have over there? I mean, this is... Why am I saying this, Joe Jenkins? Because in my lifetime, what I've seen now in the last, let's say, decade, the regional approach, Hudson Valley approach,
yes,
to addressing these training issues, the jobs, the economy, the workforce, I just see great collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely. And we would love to partner with Ulster County BOCES as well with this. It's actually a grant that we have now. It's not just for Dutchess Community College. This is a grant that can go to other educational institutions who are looking to ramp up their trades programs for the purpose of supporting clean energy jobs like HVAC, things
sure,
like that. So, again, we see what they're doing up there at the iPark 87 facility, and we're encouraged by it. And again, you know, and we've talked about it from linemen all the way down. You know, we need more tradespeople here in the Hudson Valley to make the community thrive. That's what makes our community strong. Mm-hmm. Bolstering the middle class is critically important. It's a shrinking community here in the Hudson Valley, and we need to build it back up, and do it through jobs like this.
And AI is not going to take those jobs away.
That's correct.
Help coordinate, but it's going to require lots and lots and lots of additional humans to actually get this work done.
Yes.
You know, Joe, one of the things that we used to speak a lot about, and I want to speak about it again, is you know, and I'm looking at Congressman Pat Ryan's website right now, and there's a quote on his website that basically says, raising prices, Central Hudson's proposed rate increases is just nothing but blatant corporate greed. You know, so I mean, and you know, customers across the region, many of whom joined us and joined my office today, and this is Pat Ryan again, are still reeling from years of systemic failure. We're standing up for the single mother in Poughkeepsie trying to put food on the table for her kids, the senior on fixed income in Kingston who simply can't afford another inflated bill, the small business owners in Newburgh struggling to keep his store open, and everyone in between. On behalf of the entire Hudson Valley community, we're calling on the Public Services Commission to reject Central Hudson's rate increase. Now, one of the things that we've always spoken about is the fact that a lot of the rate increases that are proposed and a lot of the rate increases that Central Hudson looks at being able to implement are due directly to government regulations pertaining to the electrification, if you will, all of the things that the government is putting in place,
yes,
that a lot of people don't have an opportunity,
correct,
of understanding. It's very easy for Congressman Pat Ryan to look at you and say, Joe, you really are a big bad villain, you know, and Central Hudson is a big bad villain. But can we talk a little bit about just the overall complexities,
yeah,
of what you need to be able to do as a utility organization specific to what Congressman Ryan is saying? Because he's not talking about the things that are going on, I mean, in terms of New York State. He's not talking about, you know, Kathy Hochul's green energy,
right,
agenda that is driving a lot of these issues.
That's right, yeah. And to your point, we can talk about CLCPA a little bit, and then I can take a step back and really break down where every dollar that a customer spends goes to when you give a dollar to Central Hudson. But to your point, when we talk about CLCPA and things like that, there's very real impact that's already on your bill. For the last several years, for just phase one projects for CLCPA, ratepayers have been on the hook for $36.6 million per year to fund those system investments so that we can better accommodate.
CLPCA, define that for our listeners again.
That is the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act.
There you go.
Again, another beautiful name.
I love it.
Beautiful name, and taking us, you know, away from in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But again, when we talked about like what Congressman Ryan says, and this is where we agree that we need to have good and constructive relationships with our elected officials, but we also need to be assessing the facts without viewing them through tinted glasses. And the reality is that every dollar that our customers give to Central Hudson, 42 cents of it goes to us to operate our business so that we can continue to make investments in the system, keep electricity and natural gas safe and reliable. The remaining 58 cents goes to other people. So nearly 60 cents of every dollar you give us goes to either funding New York State mandates, taxes, or to the third-party suppliers who actually produce and generate the electricity and natural gas.
Wow.
So we agree that we need to do everything we can to keep bills affordable, which is why we've committed to keeping our operations and maintenance budgets flat for the next several years moving forward. They will not go up. But we also need our lawmakers to take an honest assessment at the policies that we've put in place that are creating this environment.
Wow. Now, there's an idea, huh?
There's an idea. I'll tell you what. Here's another idea. We're closing in on 7:45. Joe Jenkins, Central Hudson Gas and Electric in studio. Let's hear from the Zolls and then come back. And when we come back, Joe Jenkins, I want you to start the conversation again repeating those percentages that you just broke down for us. Back in a minute on The Beacon. Barracuda. 7:47, Hudson Valley Focus 5 on The Beacon. Joe Jenkins, Central Hudson Gas Electric in studio. So, Joe Jenkins, I'd like you to back up and the percentages for the dollar that we pay on our Central Hudson bill. Please give me the percentages again, the part that how those dollars break down.
Yeah, and this is something you can find on our website. If you Google Central Hudson, your bill explained, there's a whole page that explains all the different line items on your bill, and then there's a graphic that shows you how that dollar breaks down. We felt it was important for our customers to know where their money is going. So for every dollar that our customers give us, 42 cents of it comes to Central Hudson so we can operate our business, pay our linemen, pay our engineers, make the investments in the system that we need to make to keep it safe and reliable. And then 22 cents of that goes to New York State fees, mandates, things like that. And about 36 cents goes to the third-party suppliers of electricity and natural gas. So what that means is that 58 cents out of every dollar you give Central Hudson is outside of our control.
Right.
So, again, some of that is the supply side, which, again, those prices are dictated by market forces, policy decisions we make, a number of different things. And then those taxes, fees, and mandates are something that's sort of foisted upon us by our lawmakers.
But even the 42% that you are in your basket of those, of that 42%, you are still subject to market forces, that the utility pole, the wooden pole that used to cost $600, that now costs $1,500.
That's right.
You have no control over that.
That's right, yeah. And inflationary pressures, we are not immune to them. And you pretty much hit it right on the mark. When we look at things like the basic items, like a utility pole, they used to be around $600. And now they're closer to between $1,500 and $1,800.
Yes.
We've seen price increases on the transformers, those little buckets that you see on the top of the poles.
Yep.
They've increased in some cases by more than 500%.
Yes.
So those inflationary pressures do impact us. And when you talk about the sheer volume of just the poles, Central Hudson service area, 262,000 utility poles in our service area.
Wow.
When you talk about the lines that run between the poles, the wires, we have close to 10,000 miles of wire, and that wire went from being around $2.50 a foot to about $5 a foot. So these price increases are something that impact us. And then again, when you bring the policy equation into it, and in that 42 cents is the fact that we're now required to make investments in a system at a rate faster than we ever have before.
Yes.
In order to accommodate a transition that was based more on ideological timelines as opposed to engineering best practice.
And Joe Jenkins, that brings me back to something I wanted to say, because I believe it to be accurate that probably over the last 30 years, too often the Public Service Commission, you have to file a rate makeup.
Right.
For probably the last 30 years, the New York State Public Service Commission had been allowing, mandating underfunding the necessary preventive maintenance that, that should have been done little incrementally year by year by year by year. Well, the cumulative effect is it's left us, left you, left the utility grid tens of millions of dollars deficient.
Yeah, yeah. And to, under previous administrations in Albany, there was almost a an unspoken rule that we would follow sort of like the 2% tax cap levy when it came to our rate reviews. It wasn't ever written anywhere, but it, it followed very closely to that. And then ultimately, there was a lot of cans that were kicked down the road from storm response expenses, again, system investments, which we continued to make, but we had to balance between making those investments to stay ahead of the curve and simply fixing what breaks. And when we're only funded to a certain degree, and again, I think it's important to note that utilities in New York State, we don't make our rates. We go in for rate reviews through our regulator at the Public Service Commission. They review the cases we put before them, and then they come back and say, we agree with X, Y, and Z, but you guys need to take a haircut on A, B, and C.
Yes.
And so, and then our rates are born from that. So we have to balance those needs.
So even if it's underfunded 1%, 2%, 3%, do that cumulatively over 20 and 30 years. It turns into real money.
Yeah.
And now we are on the brink of, and this is not just exclusive to Central Hudson. I can play this out over across all of the United States of America. That's why we talk about grid vulnerabilities.
Absolutely.
And lack of reliability, particularly in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic states.
Yes, absolutely. And when you talk about grid reliability, especially in the Northeast, it's not just electricity. The electric grid is one thing, and This was the first region in the country to really electrify.
Yes.
So our system is, in fact, the oldest.
Yes.
But we also talk about natural gas infrastructure in the Northeast. And when you talk about New York specifically, there has not been a new interstate pipeline put in the ground in New York State since 1993.
Mm-hmm.
But organic demand for natural gas has continued to grow every year since then.
1993.
Joe, how do you counter, and I'm not trying to be able to set it up in terms of an adversarial sort of question, but how do you counter the, like what I just read you from Congressman Ryan's website? And I'm not just picking on Congressman Ryan, but I mean, there's a lot of elected officials who copy that mantra in terms of Central Hudson is bad. I'm standing with the small homeowner. I'm standing with the small, the elderly people who are struggling. How do you, in effect, get the message out that we're just talking about now? And how do you invite people like Congressman Ryan in to have a open dialogue about all issues?
Yeah, and the truth is that when he talks about standing with the elderly folks in our community, I do too. Those are my parents. My parents live right off Sheaf Road in the town of Poughkeepsie, so I worry about their utility bill probably more than Pat Ryan does.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is we do things like this. It's me getting out and talking about it, better educating our customers about what goes into this. But we also have an entire branch of our company that is just dedicated to reaching out to our elected officials, trying to educate them better so they have a better understanding of how the utility industry works, so that they can see the efforts that we're making on our end of those 42 cents to keep that in line, and have them better understand how they can work to, so that we can all work together, because it really does take a village to try and keep these costs down. But, you know, throwing blame in one direction or the other doesn't really lower anyone's bills.
No, it is absolutely disingenuous. And and I'm going to say this, Joe Jenkins, you don't even have to respond to it, but I have followed these issues for probably 30 or 40 years. And what I have seen is that the regulators, the Public Service Commission, and many of the politicians have used their bully pulpit to silence the voices of our utilities. This is across all of New York State. This is not just related to Central Hudson Gas and Electric. And many, many, many of the utility executives, and this goes back for 20, 30, 40 years that I've been involved with it, have been hesitant to criticize the process, knowing that then there would be retaliation in a rate makeup case before the Public Service Commission. You do not even have to comment on that. I know that for a fact to be accurate. So, and that's just, these are things that are, Ed Kowalski, that are absolutely behind the curtain that the public has little to no understanding
of. And like I said, I mean, I think, you know, again, you know, quoting my old boss, Ross Perot, who would admit one of his mantras was get all the liars in the room at the same time.
Yes.
I mean, you can't have an elected official, you know, being able to point the finger in one direction without paying attention to the laws that are currently on the books and the current state of green agendas in New York State that are causing a lot of these issues.
You may have just shined the spotlight as to why my and your representative, Congressman Pat Ryan, refuses to sit in this chair and have this conversation with us.
Well, and again, I'm not trying to be able to pull you into the political.
No, we left
arena.
You out of the conversation.
No. But let's address the 800-pound gorilla in the room. This is a big part of the issues, and it's so easy to be able to say, oh my God, because I've gotten that experience. You know,
sure.
You open your bill up, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not really home a lot. I don't know what's going on, kind of a thing.
Yep.
You know, and I've also dealt with, and Tom and I've spoken about a woman in my neighborhood. Ed, I can't turn my heat on because I'm living on a fixed income. Yeah. I've heard that. And these stories tug on your heart. They tug on my heart.
Of course.
But I think we need to be able to look at the legitimate issues in terms of everybody. There's accountability all around.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's certainly things that we need to do better as an organization. We need to be constantly evaluating.
Well, I think you need to stop eating donuts, Joe. Let's start there.
Yeah,
okay?
You could do that. But again, you know, there are things that we need to do to keep our business as efficient as possible on our end. But again, it takes policymakers, it takes our regulators, it takes all of the utilities coming together and really working together to examine what the problems really are.
And I think most folks would be astounded. Your utility workers, your linemen, our union workers,
sure,
working out there in all kinds of conditions.
I
think people would be astounded if they would know what the union requirements are for compensation, and what happens in the event of a storm, and you know, and thank
now,
God,
now you're talking my world in terms of the labor relations world.
Yeah,
Tom, but yes,
thank,
I hear you.
Thank God, though, these individuals are out there. But like you said, Joe Jenkins, we need to be training an entirely new generation
100%.
up and down the entire trades skill sets.
Yeah. Yeah, critically important. And again, I mean, as you mentioned, the shout out to our linemen and our gas mechanics. This is real. These guys go to work and they work with potentially lethal materials and resources every single day. So they have to be on point. It's not, you know, on a Monday I can come in a little slow, wait until my coffee kicks in before I start using my words. They don't get to do that.
No.
They have to go out and literally risk their life and be on point every single day. So it takes a really highly trained individual
100%.
To do what they do.
You know, I went to college.
And they better be ready to respond when the X-class solar flare coronal mass ejection causes a power blackout.
Thank you, Dr. Sipos.
You're welcome. I just looked at my true story. Just saw the Space Weather News about a powerful X class. So, Joe Jenkins, let's make sure we don't let too much more time go before you're back.
You got it. Nice seeing you again,
yeah,
sir.
It's good seeing you too.
Indeed.
Reminder as I end this conversation: use budget billing.
Yes.
Yes.
Up next, talking about the environment.